Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. Thank you so much for joining us on this Wednesday afternoon. Chris Meany, Ashley Docking here with you from the Fantasy Sports Network studios in Toronto. And man, we're glad that you guys could join us today because we've got a great show. We got the Knicks.
The Knicks.
Nick Whalen, Nick Giffen, not the New York Knickerbockers.
From New York.
No, no Carmelo Anthony, no Kristaps Porzingis, but these guys are better. It's
we
fine.
Actually may talk Porzingis later.
We have to. Yeah. He's been really, really great lately. Yeah. He's really taken a nice stride in his second year. Yeah. What else we got today?
Are you going to tell the story?
About what?
What you told me before we came on.
So is anyone familiar? You're really just throwing it under the bus here. Bus driver, reverse.
You don't
board.
Have to.
So
it's
everyone's heard of the dating. Oh, good. The single shot too.
Yes.
Everyone's heard of the apps Bumble as well as Tinder. So I was perusing Bumble one evening, watching some sports with a glass of vino.
Yes,
and
nice, very nice.
Boom, match. Yay,
ooh,
so
match.
Exciting. Conversing with this nice gentleman and, what do you do for work? Oh, Fantasy Sports Network. Listen, I'm 6 points ahead in my league. I'm in sixth place. The playoffs starting real soon. Really need a running back. Can you help? Automatic friend zone.
Yes.
Send screenshots of his waiver wire. What should I do? What should I do? I'm like, well, Mike Gillisley's on there. Maybe grab him.
Did you like want to give him bad advice?
No, I didn't want to give him bad advice. A little
Fair.
Bit. I did. But his waiver wire was so bad that like every advice is just like, well, it's a long shot, so good luck.
That's a pretty good story. Right away, just into the fantasy sports. This is the world
zone.
We live in, Ashley.
It is the world we live in, Chris.
This is the world we live in. That's why we're the first ever 24/7 fantasy sports channel. Let's go off that with Jordan Reed.
I'm in dating purgatory now because of it.
I know. My bad, but that's a great story for sure. He's missing out. Jordan Reed, hopefully he doesn't have him on his roster. Well, if he does, he's been doing pretty good lately, but dealing with a grade 3 shoulder separation. As of yesterday, he said his range of motion was like 30%. I don't know what that is like.
Not
this.
Good. If it's like up, yeah, it's like it's probably like below chest level.
Certainly not good. You need to start looking elsewhere if you have Jordan Reed. You probably don't have two tight ends on your team. I don't suggest that if you had Reed. I mean, why would you have a second? The obvious pickup is Vernon Davis. He's been pretty good. He's got at least 50 yards in 5 of his last 6 games, at least 11 fantasy points in 5 of the last 6. Coming off a game where he had 7 targets, 5 grabs, and 68 yards. If he's not available, I do like CJ Fedorowicz. 7 of his last 8 games, he's had at least 8 fantasy points. He's had double-digit fantasy points in 5 of those contests. He had one game where he had 18, another one where he had 20. Brock Osweiler can't throw down the field, and he can't connect with DeAndre Hopkins, so he seems like the only guy he can connect with is Lamar Miller, 5 yards in front of him, and CJ Fedorowicz, 6 yards in front of him. So I'm on board with those two guys if you have Jordan Reed. I don't think he's going to play, but as you said before we came on, he doesn't care about anything. If he can go, he'll go. Like
yeah,
he came back in that football game and caught a touchdown.
I know.
He's great.
He's a madman. I don't know what's going on with him. Someone who, you talked about Fedorowicz having double-digit fantasy points,
yes.
Or was it Davis?
Both.
Vernon Davis, both of them. Someone who hasn't in a while and probably doesn't know the definition of double-digit fantasy points this season is John Brown. And on a more serious note, he is dealing with a sickle cell blood condition that's sidelined him for the last little while. It's not musculature. It's nothing to do with that. It's just when the blood condition kicks in, he gets pain in his legs. And the doctors
just starting to tighten up,
he starts
right?
to tighten up, and the doctors still aren't sure of the cause. So first of all, that's very concerning. We hope that they find out what's going on with him. But meanwhile, it doesn't look like he's going to get much run in. And if he does, it seems like his usage is going to be very, very limited, which means Fitz, he just becomes even more valuable than he's already been. They're taking on Washington this week. His last 3 meetings against Washington, 3 touchdowns, 20 receptions, 340 yards during that time. So, I mean, Larry Fitz, if you're thinking DFS, he's always a good option. And I feel like when you see these older guys, like, a little bit underrated for what their performance has been.
Yeah, for sure. And Josh Norman's not going to fall around Larry Fitz.
No.
And J.J. Nelson is not really appealing to me. Michael Floyd's been really invisible. So, I mean, it's Fitz and his David Johnson, and that's all you want. Some more bad news, this time out of Atlanta. Desmond Trufant, done for the year. That is certainly concerning for a team that's, you know, not only from a fantasy standpoint, we pick on the Falcons and their secondary, for a playoff team that's kind of seems like they're on their way to make the playoffs, at least win that division. And you know what? That's not good news. They're missing their best corner, one of the best backs in the league. So he's done for the season, pec surgery.
And that means that KC, they're taking on KC this week, which means we've already talked about Tyreek Hill a ton. ton this week, and his value just jumps right up. Even if Macklin does make his return, yeah. Hill is definitely a target, especially with Trufant out. We're going to move on to some basketball. Mike Connolly,
he's out.
He fractured a vertebrae in his back. So
they're saying like 6 to 8 weeks.
6 to 8 weeks, but there was a couple people. Hito Turkoglu had the same injury. He was like 2-3 weeks. So it really just depends on the person, a per case basis. It's not as though Memphis has a ton of options, and they have just been stricken.
Just like last year.
Last year was so
Everyone
bad.
Was hurt.
Was it Barnes? He's like, I couldn't even tell you the name of five guys on our roster at one point during the season.
No, because they had like basically no one. It's the same thing. Yeah. Like Randolph is like has some personal issues. He's not with the team. Vince Carter is questionable
away, I believe,
today.
On Thanksgiving.
So, oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
And then Vince Carter is questionable tonight.
Yeah.
They basically
Chandler
have like
Parsons,
three. Chandler
knee
Parsons
bruise,
is a bum.
James
He's
Ennis
got a bum
calf.
Knee.
Brandon Wright ankle. So even if it's not like the main starters, it's just like they have no depth.
And they only have like three wings, and like their best one is like Tony Allen. So this is not great. We'll talk about what it means from a DFS standpoint, but from a season-long standpoint, I want Andrew Harrison. I'm like willing to go and pick him up immediately. I think it's a short-term fix because eventually Conley's going to come back. But Andrew Harrison has been okay in limited minutes. I mean, he's played 24 minutes in four of his last six games. He had 35 in there, and the numbers are okay. 4, 5, and 7. 7, 4, and 6 with four steals. 13, 4, and 7. He has 8 steals in 7 games. He's got 5 blocks in his last 7. So he's contributing across the board, but you see the field goal percentage at 27%. He's actually 1 for his last 18 from the field.
So bad.
So he's not going to help you there, but he's going to be given a lot of playing time. Let's see what he does in Toronto. I think he's the guy over Wade Baldwin, who's another guy who's getting mixed in there at point guard, but I think it's Andrew Harrison is going to be the guy. Undrafted out of Kentucky.
Wade Baldwin can
get it done.
Baldwin was supposed to be the backup point guard at the beginning of the season, and then
and
he went ahead and shot 28% from the field. He's bumped it up to 33, but with reduced minutes. So he's on the up and up, but you're right, it is Harrison that's going to be the guy, and I don't necessarily think his shooting is going to take a massive turnaround, especially if he's going to be starting. He's going to be going one-on-one with some of the best guards in the league, but you're right, those pesky stats, those steals, those assists, dishing out dimes, that's where he's going to have his value. So he is worth a pickup.
It's encouraging to see him block, too, like get a couple blocks and a couple steals.
Absolutely. Rodney Hood, he left Tuesday's game against the Rockets with a right hamstring strain. We're not sure when he's going to be back. Joe Johnson, Gordon Hayward, George Hill.
Yeah,
get a
all
bump.
Upticks for sure. I mean, Joe Johnson, if Hood's out for a while, you go
Joe
ahead and
Johnson.
Pick him up. Yeah, Joe Johnson, he could ball with the best of them still, but really good first game of the season. We're like, whoa,
so
Joe Johnson.
It was like the Jonathan Simmons effect.
Yeah.
Like, pick him up. You're like, no, he's 60. Don't.
But you nailed it. The biggest guys is George Hill and Gordon Hayward.
Yeah.
And certainly if you're into playing a lot of DFS, those guys are just going to be even better. And quickly before we get out of here, hockey, Jonathan Taves, you know, all week we were talking about upper body. Is it a head injury? No, it turns out it's a back injury, and it's not all that serious, and he could play tomorrow. And then Oliver Ekman-Larsson left yesterday's game, and he was seen with his hand wrapped. That is certainly concerning because he's one of the best fantasy hockey defensemen out there. Maybe you need to go hit the waiver wire. Mark Streit off the top of the head, Oscar Klefbom, some of these guys who can help you out power play points.
And then just really quickly, because I know producer Roger's going to kill us in a second, but John Jay signed with the Cubs 1 year, $8 million, which means bye-bye Dexter Fowler.
Dexter Fowler, he gone.
The Blue Jays talk has heated up around this guy. I know I do a bunch of live speaker series, and all the fans, is Dexter Fowler coming? Is Dexter Fowler coming? Well, you know what? He very well might be, and if not him, Jay Bruce could be one heading over to the Toronto
for
Blue Jays.
For sure. I would rather Dexter atop of that lineup. He's solid.
Yeah.
Cubs, man. I'm surprised the Cubs are going to part ways with him.
Is it sad for you?
Break number one. We're done.
Break
we're out of here.
One.
John
That's
Jay, don't
now.
Draft him.
No, we're going.
All right, we'll see you soon. Basketball.
And just like that, costume change. From hair up to hair down, bomber jacket.
I'm surprised Gary was even alive when Smash Mouth was like had their hits. What, am I wrong there?
No, I don't know when Smash Mouth was like a big thing the year. What
it's
do you
like
think?
Big
like
Shiny
the 90s?
Too. It's like cassette. Like I had the cassette. Like it's like the early, it's like
did
the
you
mid
ever,
90s.
Did you ever make a girl a mixtape?
Of course.
Did you?
Of course.
Did you ever, like, when you have to be like, play record, and then you have to, like, bring it back when the DJ starts talking again? Let's bring in Nick Whalen right now from RotoWire. Nick, we're talking mixtapes. Did you ever make a girl a mixtape with, like, your favorite songs?
I think I definitely did. I mean, we're talking like middle school era.
Yes.
Probably a lot of rap music that my mom did not know was downloaded on our family computer, and she probably would not have approved of me listening to, let alone burning for my friends. But no, I definitely did that.
I love that. So thoughtful of you.
Yeah.
Well, we're here to talk about NBA, not mixtapes.
No.
And who do you want to start? You want to start with Washington, OKC?
Well, let's start with Washington, OKC. Yeah. I mean, we can't start DFS talk without talking about Russell Westbrook and what he's been been able to do this season. And I just want to know, like, how expensive does he have to get that you just don't play him anymore? Because at times when there was no Kevin Durant a couple years ago when he was hurt, he was up to like 13-5, 13-7, I believe. And I was still trying to get him in my lineup. Is that how you're going about things too? Or are you kind of just pivoting off him tonight?
Yeah, I mean, Westbrook's getting to the point where the risk is so low that, you know, I think he might have to get into that mid-1300 range, like you said. I mean, we saw a guy like Harden who's been, you know, priced similarly to Westbrook, you know, last night going up against Utah, put up a dud. You know, if you spend big on Harden, you probably did not do too well in daily on Tuesday night. But with Westbrook, I mean, it's 60-plus points in five of his last seven. You know, he's just not having those bad games. So, I mean, right now, it's worth the price. And there are nights where if you don't have Russell Westbrook in your lineup, especially on smaller slates, you know, it's really, really hard to get in the top half of contests. So, you know, I think the price is going to continue to climb the more consistent that he is. But in my mind, as much as I love Russell Westbrook and love what he's doing right now, like, can he do this over an 82-game sample? Can he do it over a 60-game sample even? I mean, we're only 19 games into the year for OKC. And, you know, to see what he's been able to do from a usage standpoint, you know, right around 40% usage, which is completely absurd. I just wonder, you know, if we get into February, March, is this going to be the same Russell Westbrook physically, you know, as it is now in late November?
I think if you asked him, the answer would be absolutely.
He would just shrug it. Absolutely. He wouldn't even answer the question. He'd be like, next question.
And then John Wall getting in on the triple-double action, points, assists, turnovers. Yeah. That's awesome as well. But he's a viable option for you tonight, no?
Yeah. I mean, if you're looking on FanDuel, I think he's a little over $3,000 cheaper than Russell Westbrook, and it's a similar split on DraftKings as well. So, I mean, from that perspective, it's really attractive because, you know, the ceiling for Westbrook and Wall, I don't think are all that different. The thing is, Westbrook hits that ceiling so much more often than Wall does. I mean, both of these guys produce across all categories. Both these guys turn it over a ton, too. I mean, Westbrook's averaging more than five turnovers per game, which is a byproduct of, you know, having that absurdly high usage rate. So, I mean, choosing between the two is always tough. I mean, Westbrook, at worst, seems to be good for like 25, 10, and 10 on a given night. Wall, the floor is a little bit lower for Wall. And like I said, he doesn't hit that ceiling quite as high. But at the same time, when you're saving $3,000, I think you can live with that.
Playing DFS basketball, it's always about trends. And a lot of the time, it's always about injuries. With Mike Conley going down yesterday, going to be out about 6 to 8 weeks, roughly. That's the timetable. Yeah. Could be back sooner. We talked a lot off the top about Andrew Harrison getting an opportunity tonight in Toronto. How do you feel about him? He's only $4,000 on DK. Touch on him from a seasonal standpoint. Do you think he should be rostered as well?
I think he kind of has to be for now, and I'm not big on the Harrisons overall. As a Wisconsin guy, I've been burned by the Harrison twins in the past. But it's just kind of crazy now that, you know, he's in a position that he might be a starting point guard for a playoff caliber team. And of course, you know, injuries have a major reason for that. I'm just worried if you're looking a little bit longer term that Memphis maybe adds a point guard in the meantime. You know, they're not going to go out and trade for, you know, an all-star caliber, even a starting caliber point guard, but we could see something similar to like what Detroit did back in October, where they picked up Beno Udrih to kind of, you know, ease the loss of Reggie Jackson. And I think we could see something similar with Memphis because they're in such a good spot right now. They have a little bit of a cushion in the Western Conference playoff race. This is a team that went through similar injury issues last year and was able to kind of persevere and hang around. And I don't think losing Mike Conley for a portion of the season means they're just going to go in the tank. So I'm a little bit worried in the long term that maybe Harrison and a guy like Wade Baldwin, the rookie out of Vanderbilt, could have their value diminished if and when Memphis adds someone. But, you know, for the next week or so, I think both of those guys are going to be near minimum price. And even if they're not all that good of players, they might be forced into playing 30 plus minutes per game. And at that point, they're going to have some serious value.
Yeah, I read some reports last night that, you know, Memphis interested in bringing back Norris Cole into the NBA, right? Obviously playing overseas. That could be a quick fix for them.
Yeah, it would be pretty bad if these guys are getting like plus 30 minutes, 35 minutes, and they don't do anything with it. Like, that would be, they're in the NBA for a reason. Even if they're on the lower end of the spectrum, they're still good basketball players. Another guy who's benefiting from injury is Glenn Robinson III, I believe.
Yeah.
III. Paul George has been out, and in that time, Robinson's gone from about 18.5 minutes a game to about 34.5 minutes a game. Except for the one game that George came back, then Robinson's numbers dropped to 10 minutes a game. So this is definitely not a long-term play. This seems someone who's perfect for the DFS ebbs and flows.
Right, exactly. I mean, you can see just by looking at his game logs that his value is directly tied to Paul George. So Paul George won't be playing tonight. CJ Miles also won't be playing tonight. So it should be another night where Glenn Robinson sees 30-plus minutes pretty much by default, because the Pacers don't really have many other options on that wing. You know, they got rid of Solomon Hill this offseason. So kind of remarkable, the turnaround. I mean, Glenn Robinson looked like he might never play in the NBA again this time last year. And, you know, now he's starting for what's a pretty decent Indiana team. So, you know, again, I mean, it's kind of the same situation with Memphis, where once Paul George is back, once CJ Miles is back, Glenn Robinson probably plays 10 to 15 minutes off the bench. But in the meantime, I think he's a guy I'm more than happy using, you know, certainly tonight. And if those guys remain out for another game or two, he's shown what his ceiling is. You know, you can't really expect that night to night. But again, like you said, he's an NBA player for a reason. And if he's playing 30 to 35 minutes, there's going to be some production there.
And Nick, we only got about 45 seconds. You gave us a few more names. Eric Bledsoe with Brandon Knight struggling, Hassan Whiteside. You also talked about the LA guards with Nick Young out of the lineup. He was spotted in a walking boot after leaving yesterday. D'Angelo Russell's out. Out of all those guys, who do you like the most tonight?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think I like Jordan Clarkson, you know, especially with Nick Young in that walking boot. That certainly doesn't bode well for his status. We already know Russell's ruled out for the next 2 to 3 weeks. I mean, Clarkson's a starting caliber player. He played at that level for most of last year. I know they like bringing him off the bench this season, and the Lakers have the best scoring bench in the NBA for a reason, and he's a huge part of that. So I think he's kind of the obvious guy with the most upside. You know, Lou Williams probably plays a little bit more in the absence of Nick Young, but Clarkson advantage is that he can play the one and he can play the two. So I think with D'Angelo Russell out, they don't want to have to play Calderon or Marcelo Huertas all that much, because those guys are so bad on D. So Clarkson's the guy that I'm looking to over these next 2 or 3 weeks without Russell.
Nick Whalen from RotoWire, thank you so much for your time. We got to get out of here, but we'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Sure. Thanks, guys.
Enjoy the basketball.
Thank you. I love the Lou Williams call, averaging a career high 16.6 points per game, tying a career high steals per game, playing less minutes than he has since 2010, 2011.
Yeah, and play Hassan Whiteside. He's a beast.
Yeah, always play all the Hassan all the time. Yes. We'll be back. We're switching gears to the NFL. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. It's Nick time again. Nick Kiffin, though, this time from RotoViz joins us now, and we're talking tournament play options versus GPP options. So, Nick, let's just jump right in. What is your strategy in determining which player is better suited for which competition?
Yeah, so a strategy that I use is kind of just to figure out where the chalk will be, so who everybody's going to be on, and then figure out if I like any pivot plays or leverage plays, as we call them, in the same game off of those chalky players. So, for example, if you think Julio Jones was a chalky play, but maybe he had some reason for cause for concern, that might lead you to somebody else in the Falcons. So that's definitely a strategy I will use this weekend, and I think it's a good strategy using this New Orleans Detroit game, which is the highest total this week.
A strategy a lot of people like to take, Nick, is they like to look at the over-unders, and the highest total of this week is between the New Orleans Saints and Detroit Lions, 53.5. Both quarterbacks potential to put up some big-time points, especially in New Orleans. Are you looking at Breeze and Stafford? If so, who's the wide receivers or running backs you're looking at in that game?
Yeah, Breeze and Stafford are both very chalky plays, and I think you have to use them in cash for sure, one or the other. It depends on your price points, kind of who you can use there. So, you know, you can definitely stack them in tournaments as well. There's nothing wrong with being chalky at the quarterback position in tournaments, especially if they go off for 30-plus points. But what you really want to do is you want to hit on the right wide receivers. And I think you know, for me, Marvin Jones is a great GPP play. He's priced down at 4,400 on DraftKings this week. He's been relatively quiet over the past few weeks compared to what he was earlier in the season. I mean, he was priced over 7,000, 7,600 at one point on DraftKings because he was just going off every week at the beginning of the year. Well, I think this is the time that it can happen again. New Orleans hasn't been as good against the pass as they were maybe at the beginning of the season, and they're never really that good against the pass. So I think Marvin Jones should be underpriced. There may be some recency bias against him, keeping his ownership relatively low. I don't think it'll be extremely low because this is a pretty chalky game, but I'd much rather have him than, say, Golden Tate or Anquan Boldin, who I think could be a little bit higher owned.
You just mentioned ownership and recency bias. How do you feel about Brandon Cooks? Like, do you think people are going to be on Cooks or off of him because it's zero targets in a game where the Saints scored 49 points?
Yeah, I think there's probably going to be some recency bias against him. However, you know, he did make those comments about feed me the ball type stuff, and the, you know, the industry is paying attention to that, at least for what I've seen on, you know, fantasy Twitter. So it might be something that the sharps are more on than the general public. So something in like the Millionaire Maker, where there's a lot of public money, I think he could be pretty low owned. So I like him as a GPP play in like really big, low price tournaments.
I love Sean Payton too, saying, I don't care how Brandon Cooks feels about being underused. He's like, we won the game.
Yeah.
This guy needs to shut up.
Yeah.
Just be quiet, Brandon. You'll be fine.
Still averaging 7.5 targets at home.
You'll
despite
get yours.
Zero last
well,
week.
And that's, yeah, the Saints are just phenomenal at home. Drew Brees, 300 plus yard yeah. passing games this season. And you talked about wide receivers and making sure you hit on those. Sammy Watkins came back and he was great. 3 receptions, 80 yards, didn't find the end zone, but the biggest thing is that he didn't have any setbacks. Do you just see him going up from here?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think especially against Oakland in a game that could potentially shoot out, I definitely want exposure to both passing offenses. And I think Sammy Watkins always has big play potential. It sounds like the Bills have finally rested him enough to where he's healthy and comfortable. So there shouldn't be any injury concerns or setbacks like there were in week 1 and 2 of the year. So I really like Sammy Watkins this week. I'm not sure how the industry will feel about him. So that remains to be seen. I think I'll have a better mind made up as the week goes on. But I certainly will have exposure to him. It just depends on how much based off of what I think the industry will do. And run it back with Amari Cooper in that game. If we talk about recency bias, get some Amari Cooper in there.
Yeah, let's go to the running back. I agree with you 100%. Amari Cooper doesn't show up. No one wants to play him again. I got to play him. Let's talk about running backs. You know, last week, Jeremy Hill was under $4,000. Tough match against Baltimore, but caught 6 balls. This week, he's under $5,000. Are you playing him in a GPP format or do you trust him in cash?
You know what? I think you can play him in both formats. The matchup is actually not terrible. It's not great, but it's not terrible. And I think just at his price point, getting a workhorse workload, no Gio Bernard, AJ Green is likely out. That means a lot of extra usage should go Jeremy Hill's way. I think at that $4,300 price tag, that's something I like in all formats. So Jeremy Hill is a good play. I just wouldn't go nuts on him in terms of like 30, 40% ownership in your lineups. But, yeah. You know, in the 15 to 20% range is totally fine.
All right, Nick, we got to get out of here. Thank you so much for your time. We'll talk to you again soon, okay?
Sounds good, guys. See
you. Have a great day.
All right, Nick, take care.
Do you think that the fact that they used Hill for 6 receptions, 61 yards, just shows how little faith they have in their receiving core?
Oh, yeah.
Without AJ Green?
Well, yeah, for sure. And no Gio, so yeah, I like him.
I like you. And we like you guys. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys again tomorrow.
Download
Bye.
Bumble.